Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
Today is Warwick Sherman, and he is going to talk about the two miracles that has happened in his life in this past 10 years, if I'm not mistaken. Good day, Warwick.
Good day. How are you?
Good. And you?
I'm very well. Thank you very much.
10 years ago, your life changed.
Yeah, a little over, actually. 2010, since I turned 50, I decided I'd have annual medicals, and in 2010, I went to my doctor, who I've known since I was 15 years old, and did the tests, and he said there was a slight aberration with the blood test, but everything would be all right. And that aberration turned into lymphoma. In fact, non-Hodgkin's mantle cell lymphoma, which is very confronting.
Do you remember your reaction when you first heard about your condition?
Yeah, it's numbing. I'm healthy. I lead an active life. I sail, I ski, I play golf. I guess it's the old thing. You never think it's going to happen to you, and then when it does, it's just incredible. The C word for a lot of people means death, and I must say I went through that same emotion when I was diagnosed.
And because there was a time when nothing was working for you, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, more so. I'm not a great person to. I'm just a not a great person to overanalyze things. But when I got home from that, the diagnosis after numerous tests, that took probably 10 days, 2 weeks. I actually Googled what I had, and basically every person in the world that had non-Hodgkin's mantle cell lymphoma in 2009 died, and that was very confronting, very, very confronting. When I went back to the oncologist, he said, basically all the procedures that we've been using have failed, and I'd like to get you onto this new protocol, which is a new way of processing what you've got. Called the Nordic Protocol, which came from Scandinavia. It was relatively new. And he said, I'd like to put you on that. I went to the top oncologist at St. Vincent's, who we happened to know through friends. And he was an older gentleman, obviously very well regarded, very well respected. And his words to me were, if you can't stand having the sword of Damocles over your head, we will treat you now. But I thought that was just a silly thing to do, given the current treatment that was being offered was ineffective. So I understand his philosophy was, if mentally you can't cope with living with it, get it treated. Because the Nordic Protocol basically was, instead of get it early, hit it hard, it's let it manifest in your body, and when you have to have chemotherapy, then you embrace chemotherapy. So it was the sort of opposite of the normal thought process at the time.
And did you have your treatment straight away?
No, I didn't. No, because the younger oncologist who I stayed with, he said, look, you might get 12 or 18 months before you have to have treatment. And I sort of thought, well, if treatment failed after 12 or 18 months, at least I had that 12 or 18 months to live and enjoy. If I embraced treatment straight away, basically we knew the historical treatment for mantle cell, it wasn't working anyway. So, my life expectancy was pretty short, basically.
But you got lucky.
So I embraced the concept of letting it get aggressive and then hitting it hard when that had to happen.
But you got lucky.
So I got lucky, yes.
You were declared cancer-free for a few years, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, well what happened was I went 16 months after I was diagnosed, I finally started having chemotherapy, and I had chemotherapy for 6 months, and then massive chemotherapy, my own stem cells removed, massive chemotherapy, and my own stem cells put back into my body. And I was in isolation for a month, and then really 6 months recovering, at home, sleeping all the days, 16, 18 hours a day. But finally, over 10, 12 months, I recovered. And they thought that I was in long-term remission, which is great. And I got 3.5 years out of the long-term remission. I was horrified, surprised that it had come back. And I was put on a wonder drug for 15 months and then had to embrace chemotherapy again. And my brother, I couldn't use my own stem cells again, so we went to the family. I have a brother and two sisters. My brother was a match, and I took his stem cells back in 2016 and then went into isolation for another month, and luckily got through all that trauma, and now I've been declared only 3 or 4 months ago now, cancer-free.
And how does it feel?
Oh, wonderful. I mean, it's an incredible feeling to think that you've won. But I must say, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, I know half a dozen people, similar vintage to myself, people that are friends that I know that have succumbed to cancer in the last 5 or 6 years. And I guess in the back of your mind, you wonder, you know, why did you get through and why did they not get through? You know, it's a very emotional time, to be honest.
And for you, you've been spending a lot of time making sure that people are aware of the importance of research. Like, it helped you.
I think it's most important, and I think it's wonderful what... I think the great thing about medical science, where in the world we're in now, firstly, there's been quantum leaps in improvement, and I'm a testament to that. The fact that the Nordic protocol that I was put on has saved my life, which is a new protocol. There's been incredible leaps of knowledge in so many areas that it's just wonderful, you know, and it's a good time. It's a strange thing to say, but it's a good time to be alive.
And you've been doing a lot as well. You sailed the Rolex Sydney to Hobart Yacht Race 4 times.
Yeah. In fact, the first time I actually did it was in 2012, only 6 months after I had my first... 10 months after the first transplant, and my oncologist thought I was crazy, but it was just something that I had to do. I'd done a lot of racing before, but Hobart was a very difficult race, and I never really wanted to do it. And the fact that I'd been given life again made me want to climb a few more mountains and do a few more things, and it was a response to getting better. Yeah.
And September is Awareness Month. And and this year, we're asking people to give up a vice to raise awareness for blood cancer research.
I think there are a lot of really valuable and very, very, you know, good causes out there, and everyone embraces something. Well, I'd like to think everyone embraces something. Obviously, cancer research, generally speaking, is a very good cause. Blood cancer research for me is obviously a very important cause. It doesn't take a lot to do something with a positive in mind, if that's, you know, not drinking or not, you know, whatevering, and putting that money aside and putting it into research and development. Because you never know who's going to get this, you know, these cancers. I mean, you know, we all live our lives, and, you know, when I was confronted, I was devastated. I just thought, how is this possible? And I think people that aren't or haven't been traumatised by events don't understand until they do, and then all of a sudden they understand the emotions and the realities of what goes on.
And I guess it's a small price to pay for something bigger in the future, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm a real believer and a, you know, financial supporter of Snowdome, because they are investing in coalface research. And that's what we need. I understand people need accommodation and blah, blah, blah when they come to Sydney from far afield. But I think at the end of the day, the most important thing we can do is to find solutions and cures. And I must say, you know, with my story, and coming from a world in 2009 that basically everyone died from what I had, to a world now where it's basically treatable, it's just an incredible leap.
Thank you very much, Warwick Sherman, for sharing your story, and we wish you continued good health.
Thank you. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Nice yung bang makinig na iba pang kwento na tulad ito? Makinig sa Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, o sa iba pang podcast apps.